Good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday. It's a beautiful, wonderful Wednesday, and I want to welcome you all to the Final X Legends podcast. It is another installment of the Billion Dollar Writer Club. Right now, I have a Miss Amy Barrett with us, and I would like her to take the floor, tell us a little bit about who she is and what she does. Amy, how are you doing today?
I'm very good, actually. My name is Amy Barrett.
Barrett, okay.
I am a recent graduate, actually, of a creative writing course in university.
Nice. So
when I spent my time, like, in college, I was part of writer societies and that kind of stuff, and it really gave me, like, sort of a drive to be involved with other writers and to try and contact people in any way that I could. And now that I am graduated from college, I'm a fantasy writer and poet, and have just published my first book on Kindle.
Nice.
And have started my blog as well. So I love sort of putting out like reviews or reviewing other indie authors' books, that kind of stuff, to try and get some exposure. And, you know, sharing things that I've learned sort of during my time at university, sort of from writers who are way more experienced than me, but sort of sharing these tips out with them, because I know a lot of people don't get a chance to like go and study creative writing in that kind of environment. So I think it's
exactly.
Nice to just share what I've learned and hopefully people like what they're reading about it.
Perfect. You know, and I like that. Well, is that me? I hear like a background noise for a second there. Oh, no. Well, what I was going to say was I took creative writing as well. And I, you know, loved everything about the actual academic structure of writing. And I believe that there's a good balance to play with it. Like you got to be free and be willing to risk and write in your own style and way, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with studying from the greats and learning, you know, correct literature. You know, not that there is a form of correct literature, but that there is a structure of studies for writing, and there's nothing wrong with studying that and benefiting from that. And it's good that you actually took that up, because there are a lot of people who write who have never taken any form of a formal writing classes, whether that's a self class that they, you know, found online or through, you know, college or any other like high school curriculum or whatnot. So I like that you have that, because you can definitely share a lot. And I believe a lot of people listening and even after listening to this, I should definitely get in touch with you. There's a lot of good knowledge to, you know, poke from that brain, but we're about to get a lot of that now. So tell me, what do you do for like a living right now?
At the moment, having just graduated and with everything going on in the pandemic, I'm kind of trapped in my house.
Yeah.
So finding a job has been a bit scarce, but it has given me time to dedicate to my writing.
Perfect.
Which is what's sort of keeping me going right now. Because I'm Irish, so I live in a small village in Ireland where we don't even get buses. So.
Wow.
What? Yeah, it's a bit secluded, but it's lovely and quiet when you're writing in the middle of the day.
You know what's crazy is I've always wanted to, like, I'm going to go to Ireland. Like, that's going to happen. And I definitely, oh man, it just imagine just those vast hills and plains and just picking a spot and just sitting down and just writing and feeling the wind and all that. Like, I bet that is amazing. Like, you know, not for nothing, but I feel like it would be like living in the Shire, like being in the Lord of the Rings and just having like this, you know, this amazing like cottage feel. So that's gotta be amazing. But, you know, like you said, it's, I mean, Lord, what is there else to do out there but write?
Yeah, I'm very, very lucky. Like I said that as well, like to like my sister, she does art and drawing and that kind of stuff. And I said to her, we're very, very lucky, as is anybody who does, you know, creative pursuits during this time. It definitely keeps you going.
Yes.
And gives you something to focus on. And it is sort of an upside to being trapped inside for a long period of time that I can finally dedicate the time, you know, that I wanted to all of this. And other things distract you when you can get out and around.
Yes, you're not wrong. And even when you're trapped in the house, you can still have a lot of things that distract you. So I definitely like that you have found a way to cope with the pandemic as a creator and someone who, you know, likes to dive into the deep intellectual and artistic part of the brain. It's something that, and it's funny, when you said that, I'm a creator, I'm a writer, I like to draw, and not once during this pandemic did I actually like seek it as an opportunity to further that. You know, I continued what I was doing, but looking back now, I was like, man, last year was a great opportunity to really push out some writing. There was a lot of time that I did actually waste, and I'm going to openly admit that, and I wish I hadn't, but you know, I'm not going to be stuck in that shoulda, coulda, woulda mindset. That's something that, you know, happens with a lot of us, that we'd be like, oh, I should have done this, or I should have did this there, or I could have did that. And it hinders us. But aside from that, you know, I know obviously you gather a lot of inspiration, you know, from your landscape and from where you are. Are there any other, like, you know, movies or books or TV shows, anime, cartoons, any form of entertainment out there that's inspired your creative works?
Actually, my first novel was inspired by a song that my mother loved. Mm-hmm. So I would listen to music a lot, like when I'm writing. And I find, you know, like in my mind, all sort of art forms that are connected, like story-wise, and I find a lot of music is very good at telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
And very good at sort of putting me into this sort of creative mindset, and I can often relate songs to my characters and my plots, that kind of thing. So I find music especially is just a great creative pathway for me. Like, it just opens my mind, and if I hit like writer's block or that, I have a playlist of songs or that I listen to. It sort of gets the creative juices flowing again. So I think more so than like television and film, like I'm a huge lover of television as well. Netflix has been a saving grace, but I love the freedom that music offers for like interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think music and poetry are both similar in that way, in that when you read them or listen to them, you can interpret things in a way that you want. And it sort of helps me to sort of get my own creative ideas going in that way.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that. Oh, there is an echo. Am I like on some form of speaker or headphones or something?
Yeah, I think it's on my computer. Sorry.
That's fine. I just didn't want our listeners to get jarred with hearing that echo. But what I was saying was, I love that you brought up that you have a playlist. And the reason why is because the reason why this podcast exists, and the reason for it, is for every stage of writer to be able to get out here and speak. Whether you're at the new stage where you're just thinking about writing and you want to begin learning what you should do, what genre you should write, whether you're somebody that's actually like self-published or whether you're somebody that's very successful and published a lot of books, this channel is for people to be able to express their journeys, their, you know, the obstacles they've gone through and how they everybody goes through writer's block or a form of creator's block or artistic block. And I love that you really touch base on the music. I'm very keen on music as well. You know, I was actually in one of my previous interviews discussing with someone how, you know, when I write fight scenes, I'll listen to, you know, anime music or put on the Mortal Kombat OST, or, you know, when I want to write like a love scene, I listen to like, you know, a lot of R&B and, you know, a lot of love songs and whatnot. You know, when I want to write, you know, I kid you not, whenever I write, you know, scenes that require like deep intelligence, I'm a fan of this anime show called Yu-Gi-Oh! And there's this character named Seto Kaiba, and he has this like little theme music of his, and it always happens when he's doing some like hacking, intelligent business maneuver type deal. And I put that little theme music on and I'll let that play for like 30 minutes. I kid you not, it would normally annoy me, but in that moment it gets the creative juices flowing. So I definitely understand what you mean by being tethered to music and music being able to carry a form of storytelling that you know, brainstorms with you. It's like a separate entity that just helps you, you know, create. So I like that you touch base on that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And just like you talking about Yu-Gi-Oh there, I love Yu-Gi-Oh, and it's actually the show that sort of got me into like the kind of dark fiction things.
What? Oh, hold on, we're going to take a real quick break, and then when we come back, we are definitely going to discuss how Yu-Gi-Oh got you into the dark aspect of your writing. All right, guys, so we're back, and we're going to go right into what Miss Amy was discussing. So I was actually unaware that she even knew what Yu-Gi-Oh was. For a second there, I was under the impression that she was like, who is this nerd? What is he talking about? But it was very, it's nice to connect with you on that level. Like, I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh really defined a lot in my teenage years. Even now, like I actually still to this day, like I don't watch the actual Yu-Gi-Oh show. There's this YouTube show called Yu-Gi-Oh Abridged, and I watched the crap out of that. It is hilarious, but
it's fantastic.
Girl, you know Yu-Gi-Oh Abridged.
Yeah.
That I can't even watch the regular Yu-Gi-Oh anymore because Yu-Gi-Oh Abridged is just that good and that funny. Like, it is hilarious. I actually, in the last 2 weeks, have rewatched episode 81, which was like their latest, or 81 and 82. Was like their latest episodes, and like I rewatched those so many times. I believe I could quote every character at this point. but enough about my fascination with it. Please, like, tell me how this inspired your dark genre, and then I would love to eventually get to what it is that you write and some about your stories and characters.
Well, when I was sort of younger and that kind of stuff, like, my favorite show always was Yu-Gi-Oh, and I don't know if anybody, you know, listening knows the original show or that kind of stuff, but there was very much like the villain Bakura was very dark and very sort of like a long sort of slow burn sort of evil to him that kept me interested, like, throughout just watching him change and grow and sort of the battle between like his good side and his bad side.
Mm-hmm.
And I never found anything like that again, but that kind of like sort of balance between good and evil and sort of, you know, the evil side winning out on some occasions and all that kind of stuff was really fascinating to me. I was like, this is the kind of fiction that's going to hold people's attention because to me, like, it's one of the most fascinating storylines that there is.
Yeah.
That there could be this kind of person who, you know, they're not just evil for the sake of evil, but they are the evil side of something. They do have that darkness inside them.
Yes,
it just pulled me in.
You got me pulled in because I'm thinking more about a lot of things right now. My best friend, you could say he's the Yugi Moto to my Seto Kaiba, straight up. Like, a lot of people see him as Seto Kaiba because he has a lot of cards and spent a lot of money on cards, but he's my Yugi because, as much as I hate to fucking admit it, he has beaten me 90% of our duels. Whenever we play seriously, even though I can pull out the big moves, I could throw out a Blue Eyes Chaos Max, a Twin Burst Dragon, a, you know, Red Eyes Darkness Metal, and I'm coming at him with full force. This mofo will pull out some bullshit little cute monster on me and some pendulum summon crap or whatnot, and it just aggravates me. But what I was getting to was his original favorite card was Change of Heart, and I believe it is still to this day, because his name is Angel. So he has a lot of, he respects that same balance that you respect. Like, there is a divine force, but then there is also an equivalent, you know, anti-form to that. There's a whole, you know, own separate entity that is pretty much the other half to the same coin, you know. And I love that out of all the characters, Bakura stood out to you the most. You know, I'm going to say for what it is, you know, Bakura does have a lot of the fangirls in his fan base. So it doesn't too much surprise me that he's one of your favorites. But I definitely love that his character, you know, really, you know, pulled you in. You know, I'm thinking about, like, actually, it was one of my favorite plot lines when he put himself in the Millennium Puzzle. And then we went through, like, Battle City and all these other little events. And it's like, man, what? Did they forget that Bakura, you know, what's going on with that? And then, you know, in the final season, you get, man, the final season was amazing to me. Like, I really love the whole Egyptian feel, you know, everybody with they sporting nice little tans and whatnot. Like, that was real good. That was real good. But, you know, aside from, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh and everything, tell us a little bit about, you know, what it is that you write. You know, do you have any, you said you did have a book and a poem? Poetry book out?
I have a novel out at the moment. The poetry book's still in the works.
Okay.
My first book is on Kindle at the moment called Monsters and Invisible Men.
Say that one more time. You kind of cut out.
Sorry?
You cut out as you were speaking the name, and I want you to...
Sorry.
Yep.
It's called Monsters and Invisible Men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much actually about sort of the good and the evil side of people. And it actually features angels and demons.
So perfect.
The main character in the story is Death. Like, he collects souls of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of bored, having done this for so long, and decides that he's going to stop collecting the souls of the dead and take a bit of a vacation.
Oh, Lord.
Sort of, he's quite selfish, so he doesn't really think, like, the impact this is going to have on anybody else or anything. And it just so happens in this universe, the souls of the sort of living and dead keep heaven and hell, you know, balanced and that kind of stuff. So when he stops doing that, souls start escaping from hell and, like, wreaking havoc on Earth.
Mm.
So it then becomes his job to basically right what he has done wrong, but he doesn't want to. Like, there is that sort of selfish side to him that is like, you know, I've done this for long enough. Like, why is it my responsibility? You know, I can leave this to heaven and hell to start out for themselves, but they can never agree on anything. And one of the people who actually escapes hell, he runs into him, and he is sort of like a half demon, half man.
Mm-hmm.
So he has this sort of dark nature inside of him, but he's trying to fight against it because he wants to be, you know, just living his life and helping the people that he loves. But at every turn, his darkness keeps catching up to him. So it's sort of these two kind of balancing, you know, the, like, Death sort of wants to be selfish and to put himself first for change, whereas this guy's want to be, you know, you need to fix things right so that I can be a good person, and sort of fighting against, both of them fighting against their selfish desires and the darkness within them.
Beautiful. This is the first time in one of my interviews where someone actually has introduced, you know, a character dynamic, and character dynamics are important in stories. That's the post I put out last night with the characters. For whatever it's worth, those characters are literally based off of myself and my current significant other. And the reason why I posted that was to be able to show that just these two characters and what I wrote about them, their differences will make for an interesting dynamic. And you have done that phenomenally well. Having a character who's obscenely powerful, like, he's literally Death, and he don't feel like doing nothing. Who could command him to do anything other than God, if that's, you know, a force that you have in your story? You know, I know some people like to tread lightly with, you know, incorporating God into their story, but and then you got a whole mortal, a human who is, you know, on some partnership journey with this immortal being, and they have complete, like, Death doesn't want to do anything, but this guy's like, you need to fix this so I can, you know, be good and live a good life and, you know, not fall victim to my own personal weak faults of being a human. You know, I want to be good. I like that. And I believe a lot of, you know, adult men can relate. Oh shit, that's just hit me. Like, cause I'm 31. And I often think about, you know, Death a lot. I feel like I'm, like, now, like, seriously, like, once I hit 30, like, something changed. It was like, you're running out of time now. And it's, you know, Death is very prevalent in a man's mind. He wants to get things accomplished. He wants to build his kingdom and accomplish his trophies and blessings before he moves on. Oh, man, girl, I want to read your story. You got me over here having a whole deep thought to myself in the midst of this. Oh my God. You know, are there any other characters and other, you know, story plots that you want to share with us, or do you want to just, you know, keep it mysterious, you know?
Well, you actually touched on part of it there about the power that Death has. He has quite a bit of power. Like, he is sort of one of the many who collects the souls of the dead because he couldn't do it by himself.
Mm.
But he has, like, a good bit of power, and he has immortality, but he chooses to give it up when he stops, like, doing his divine duty.
Ooh.
He chooses to become, you know, pretty much, like, helpless, like, become immortal and this kind of stuff, because he has been immortal and been alive for quite so long, and he will never die, but he's never lived. He's consumed by this kind of loneliness of watching the world sort of pass him by. So, you know, like, my beta reader read it, and he was like, you know, he's such a terrible person, but I'm rooting for him. you know, because he's suffered like enough at this point. He's like, I want him to succeed simply because he just seems so sad.
Dang, man, girl, why do I feel so singled out right now? Like, I really want to read this story. Like, I feel like I might find a bit of both of my, like, you know, a little bit of myself in both characters, you know? So, Jesus.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to write a book. Like, to me, characters are the most important thing in any story.
Exactly.
Like, I generally care what's happening unless I care who it happens to.
Exactly.
So when I was writing this book, I actually wrote, you know, like when I started writing it, you call the main character, he gave himself the name Ivan when he stopped being deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wrote him one night, like just a scene of his. And it was because, you know, I just knew that he was lonely. And I was like, this is a feeling that a lot of people can relate to. And I think once you write a character that people can relate to, the rest falls into place. Like, you can build a story around relatable characters. And I always said to one of my friends, I was like, if one person reads my book and just like relates to that character on the level that I do, I'm happy. Like, that's all I need.
You are reinvigorating the part of me that existed when I was 12. And I remember that feeling, like, man, if just one person reads this and you know, gets excited through this journey or connects with this, that's all I want. You know, that's what sets apart, honestly, in my opinion, the people who, you know, reach, you know, I actually could see this story being some, you know, Hulu original, Netflix original, movie, whatever, you know, and the reason why stories like yours will make it is because of the selflessness that went into making it. You know, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and speak about how writing is equivalent to cooking. And then we'll go from there, hit some, you know, wonderful advice that you would like to give everyone. And then, you know, we'll close out. So we'll be right back, guys. I'll see you in a second. What's up, guys? Back here with the Final X Legends podcast. We are now going to elaborate more on something that Miss Amy was you know, speaking about, and something that I also touched on was the fact that people can tell when someone has put genuine love into something. I wanted to say, like, that writing is kind of like cooking. Like, when somebody puts love into preparing a meal for you, like, you can genuinely taste that and feel that in the food. Like, how many times have you been out to eat somewhere and you have wanted to, like, literally give the chef, like, compliments, or you genuinely, like, thanked your mother or father for the meal they prepared because it was just that good, or a meal you made for yourself and you were just like, God, this is good, because you put love and effort into it, versus you just going in the kitchen and just throwing some lunch meat, some mayo, and some lettuce together on a sandwich. You understand? And I feel like writing is like that as well. You know, when somebody, you know, puts love and effort into it, people, you know, they feel that and they understand it and they gravitate towards it. So it's one of your greatest traits that I've noticed since we started speaking. Even before this show, you know, I already knew that you have the light that a lot of writers have to find or develop before they write. And you already have it. And that's an amazing thing. That's a beautiful blessing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I
always said to my friends, I was like, writing is like taking like a little piece of yourself and then showing it to people, which is quite scary.
It is.
But it is letting people in. And, you know yourself, like if you talk to somebody or that, and then you have that moment where they finally sort of let you into who they really are, you feel that connection to them. And I think when you read a book where an author has done that, or even like music or art or any form of art, when you see or hear that someone has done that, like you sense it, and it makes the experience so much better than someone, you know, who can technically write a very good story and use all the correct words and all that, but you don't feel it in the same way.
Exactly. Yep. And something else that I've noticed that has been a rise on the internet in the last few years are people who are trying to, you know, either hire some people to write their book, and they'll just, you know, go on like Upwork or Fiverr or find a friend from college and write a quick book and try to sell it. And it's infected the community, because there's a lot of, keeping it real, there's a lot of bad books out there that shouldn't be out there. They need to be re-edited. They need to be proofread. They need to be taken down and written by somebody who actually cares about the story, you know? And that's why this podcast also exists, is because I'm also going to weed out, you know, the people who were trying to do this to make a quick buck because they saw online, hey, you know, make $10,000, you know, with a free, with an ebook and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, nah, it don't work like that. There's no such thing as a quick buck in writing, because there's no such thing as quick in writing. Like, even if you sat down one day and you bust out 80,000 words, you still would need, you know, 2-3 months to edit those words. So, like, it's just keeping it honest, like, with balancing your life and everything. I realized a long time ago, I had written a chapter in like a day, but it took me 2 weeks to edit that chapter to the perfection that I saw fit and that everybody else, you know, genuinely liked. And it really just, like, showed me that it takes time. And this is a reason why I believe, you know, writers do get a massive reward when their work takes off, because you put a lot of time and effort into it, and it does pay off. It's a slow payoff, but once it's there, it's there.
Oh yeah, and like I did, it took me 3 years to write and edit my first book.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put it up online, and somebody, like, I put it up for free to start with, and people downloaded it, I was just like, oh my God, you know, there are people out there reading my book.
Yeah, that's a good feeling.
The other bit doesn't matter. I'm like, oh my God, people are reading it. And I love hearing people talk about it, or, you know, seeing that people liked it or anything like that. My neighbor read it, and she came down to tell me all about what she liked about it. It was like the best day.
No, seriously, I'm like, man, I'm gonna feel bad for other people I have on this show when I go get to bragging about her book and stuff, man, because I don't want to take away anybody's time, you know. But at the same token, I'm not gonna feel bad, because there's nothing wrong with promoting anyone. But at the same token, I'm just very excited for your book. I already feel like I can connect to those characters, and I'm going to have my little existential crisis to deal with once I'm done reading, but it's good. So I want to ask you at this point, is there any advice that you would have liked to have received? Like, if you could give yourself, go back in time and give yourself any advice to prepare yourself for writing, you know, advice that you would even like these fans to hear right now, what advice would that be?
I think the main thing that I tell people most often, and like people tell me that they can't write, you know, it'll never be good enough. My advice is, first and foremost, write for you. Write as if no one is ever going to read it, and it's just the story you want to tell, the characters you want to follow along. And you can worry about editing it or making it appealing to other people afterward, but write for you, because you're going to be the one who has to finish it.
That is some of the most gorgeous advice I've ever heard about writing. And I mean, I've heard it before, but it was like you said it with a strong sense of conviction. And I'm you know, ex-military, and I admire strength in everyone. I naturally expect it from men, and when I see it in women, oh man, it impresses me. I'm like a Saiyan in that sense. Like, I really love strong women. Like, it's a different type of strength. Like, it's not. It's human strength that I value and admire, and that there's, even when you spoke about your conviction just now, I could hear your, you know, the, your feminine energy and strength, and it's also, you know, a huge value that I am impressed by. So, Amy, you're welcome. Like, this has been a wonderful and engaging conversation, and I definitely want to get you, you know, back on, you know, in a month, maybe sooner, depending on, you know, how everybody receives everything. And, you know, they may want to hear from you sooner than later. Can you tell us where we can find you at on social media or online, or where your books are real quick?
My books are on Amazon Kindle. They're not quite physical books yet, but they're ebooks that you can read on the Kindle app on any smart device. And you can find me at amybarrettauthor.com or at authorbarrett on Twitter.
Perfect. Also, guys, I'm going to be leaving her links, her author links, and everything that she just stated in the description of this video. you guys, please make sure to reach out to her if you have any advice that you would like to, you know, share with her, or if there's any, you know, tips or writing life hacks that you would like to gain from her. As you guys can hear, she has an immense amount of knowledge. She has actually dedicated time, a time period of her life, to go and get, you know, formally educated in creative writing, so that way she can be an advocate and grand teacher and sensei to everyone out there, and share her knowledge and her teachings and whatnot. So please take the time to reach out to her. The links are going to be in the description. It's been a wonderful Wednesday with you guys. Take care. Have a beautiful day. This is the $1 Billion Writer Club. We're out.